And we are presented by Midas of Richmond, and we're at Buffalo Wild Wings, Westchester Common. So it's down here in Midlothian, right where 288 and Midlothian Turnpike come together. It's a great venue. And then, of course, it'll be the home tonight for the Will Wade Radio Show. Coach will be here at 6 o'clock. His show 6 to 7, an hour with Ed, VCU Director of Athletics, Ed McLaughlin, from 5 to 6, but hardly working until 5. And we are going to talk a little VCU and a little Richmond and a little A-10 basketball. Bring in my good buddy. If you guys don't know, A-10talk.com, great website that really does a fantastic job covering the league top to bottom. It's A-10talk.com. Joining us, my man Brian Kuiper. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Greg. How are you, buddy?
Great, man. You know, on a night where VCU trots out another small lineup with four guards, it was really Mo Alley-Cox who stole the headlines, huh, Brian?
Yeah, Mo was, it was maybe his best offensive game as a VCU Ram. You know, 10 to 12 from the floor versus Hassan Martin, who is the best post defender in the conference. He had his way with him in the second half, especially. They were able to run stuff through him, which led to a lot of good looks for, you know, Lewis and Johnson and Bilberry. So, yeah, Mo was really impressive.
Brian, do you think VCU sort of sent a message? I don't want to read too much into this, but in the post game, Danny Hurley's talking about how they felt really confident that Hassan Martin could handle Mo one-on-one. That clearly wasn't the case. Does that serve notice to the rest of the league that they need to pay attention to Mo Alley-Cox?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're seeing is kind of the trajectory of Mo's season where, you know, we'll wait to the beginning of the year. We're going to get the ball down low. We're going to look to score in the post, and their numbers have kind of shown that this year. But as Mo is getting more and more comfortable getting the ball and becoming kind of a focal point of offense, he's starting to thrive. And Hurley was right to think that Hassan Martin could guard him one-on-one because Hassan Martin's really, really good. But Mo had a great game and, you know, took the game to Hassan, which doesn't happen very often.
And let's be honest, he's an all-conference player. Hassan Martin's an NBA player, right, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, he's teams are looking at him. You know, there were scouts at the game last night. There have been scouts at a lot of Rhode Island games. He's the real deal. He's an excellent shot blocker, excellent rebounder, controls the paint. You know, he's just a strong dude. So, I mean, if you're going to go up against him, a guy like Mo Alley-Cox is a guy who's probably only one in the conference that could probably pull it off.
You had, you know, the rest of the usual suspects there for the Rams. Obviously, a good game for Mel Johnson. And then Corey Bilberry with another good game. And I know that Will Wade had some comments afterwards. What have you seen from Bilberry in this last couple of stretches? I know they had the two losses, but now in these back-to-back wins, how has Bilberry sort of raised the level of his game?
Well, Bilberry is an interesting guy because of his build. Like, if you look at him, he's not the tallest guy, but he has very wide shoulders and he's very strong. So he creates space really well for a guy his size. That's why he's able to drive really well, finish in the lane. He's a really solid finisher for a guy who isn't 6'6". Last night, I mean, it's a 25-21 game with 2 minutes to go in the first half. DC goes on a 10-2 run, I think, or 12-2 run, something like that, to end the half, and Bilberry had 8 of those points. I mean, he can score quickly. He can score multiple ways. He's been kind of like the perfect fit for what VCU needed this year with the guys they lost. So, yeah, Bilberry's impressive, and he seems to just be getting better as the season progresses.
I want to ask you about two other guys that are starting to see more playing time. You know, early on, Ahmed Hamdi was really, I think, a pleasant surprise. Then he sort of fell back into the rotation. He's getting more minutes. And then, obviously, Johnny Williams was in the starting lineup again. Talk about how those guys getting more minutes is impacting this team.
Yeah, definitely with Hamdi, you're seeing it on the defensive end. Like, when his offense suffered earlier in the year, like you were referring to, his defense suffered as well. And I know that was a point of contention with the coach as well. His defense has risen, and as a result now, his offense is coming back, which has always been there. And it gives VCU another, you know, solid post option, which they haven't had over the last few years, really. So it's a big deal for them. With Williams, I mean, he's cat quick. Like, the kid can just get up and down the court. You know, he has these crazy scoop shots that go up and under that are really hard finishes that he's finally finishing on. He's pretty dynamic with the ball in his hands as well. So VCU can run, you know, they'll run four guards out there, but all four can beat you off the bounce. And that's, creating nice lanes to drive through.
That's obviously all come at the expense of Michael Gilmore, right, who finds himself sort of buried on the bench a little bit.
Yeah, Gilmore's minutes have gone obviously way down, and that's the, that's what you have to make that's the coach's decision right there, where it's like, if you're going to go small like that, well, where does Gilmore fit into that? And I still think there's a role for him on this team, because he can do, with his length, he's got a nice shot and he can rebound. He had a really nice run at UMass when he was in with getting rebounds, and it's kind of like he just has to find his niche. What's he going to do to be able to contribute in limited minutes?
Brian Kuiper, A10Talk.com, sort of recapping VCU's real solid performance last night against Rhode Island. Meanwhile, U of R goes down to Davidson in a game that was really obviously critical to both of these teams, who have such similar profiles and records. And on a night without Jack Gibbs in the lineup, the Spiders do well offensively but cannot get it done defensively and suffer a really damaging setback, Brian. First of all, it was impressive to see Davidson play so well without Gibbs.
That was a shocker. Like, complete, when I heard that Gibbs wasn't playing, I was like, oh, well, that's that. I mean, he is he's a first team, all conference player. He's incredible. It's 25 points a game that they didn't have. And for them to be able to hang and keep it, just keep those a tight game throughout and then push out the win at the end was really impressive, I thought.
Yeah. What's wrong with the Spiders? I mean, I know they had won three in a row, but obviously they're struggling in games that really, they need to win against opponents that they need to beat. What do you see as the problem?
Yeah, I mean, Richmond is a really good offensive team. I mean, they're 2-point percentage field goal. They're seventh in the country. They're like 56%. I mean, they can score the ball. Klein, the problem I see with Richmond, honestly, is that it's Klein, Jones, and Allen. And then what you get after that isn't consistent at all. And then if you have a game where one of their big three isn't on, well, now you're asking two guys to carry the load. And when you go up against teams either on the road or tougher teams at home, like the games they've lost where they just couldn't finish. Well, it's hard to finish when you're playing six guys, quality minutes, and then you don't have enough, on the other end. So I think it's a combination of that. And then defensively, there are games where they're just not connected, where it's four guys all on the same page and one guy isn't, and it's really come back to bite them at the end of some of these games.
Yeah, it's interesting that you kind of bring that up, too, because I think Marshall Wood's probably a guy that maybe people thought was going to contribute more for the Spiders, fair to say, right? I mean, he's had his moments, but not maybe to the level that they thought.
Right. I mean, the Woods is 6'8". He's got a beautiful jumper. I mean, he's got range for days, but it's... he has games where he's 7-for-8 from three, and then he goes away and, one for three. The next, it's just the consistency isn't there. He's another guy that when he's engaged, when he's connected with his teammates, he's tough. But there have been some times where I know his defense hasn't been, exactly where maybe the level it needed to be, which has kind of been a plight for a couple of those guys. But, he can score the ball. Like, that range is NBA, and anytime you got a guy that size, that can beat you from that distance, that's a problem to defend.
One thing that is it fair or not fair? Because Chris Mooney's obviously taking a lot of heat, and if if people could see my inbox, I get a lot of tweets and texts and emails about Coach Mooney. It's not like the guy forgot the coach. I think it still is important to remember that this team obviously is shorthanded in a way that they weren't expecting. Now, maybe they knew that Alonzo Nelson Adoda was headed out of the program, but then losing Jones too, having one or both of those guys would have made a difference on this team.
No doubt. It would have been a huge difference. And I'm glad you brought that up because it's a point very few people make. Losing key players like that, it changes everything. And the rotations especially, when you can only look down at your bench and know that maybe two guys are capable of coming in and contributing quality minutes, that's tough. Like, there's just no room for error. Your margins are so thin, which is true for a lot of teams in the A-10, which is why you see a lot of, you know, 6 and 7, 7 and 6. There's a whole group in the middle of the conference right there that are all kind of dealing with what Richmond's dealing with.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Oh, I got to get your thoughts on tonight, right? Man, Dayton at St. Joe's, that's going to be a crazy one, right?
Oh, man, 6 o'clock. Like, I cannot believe this game. So many different storylines to look at. I'm really excited to see Charles Cook go up against Bembry and Miles. And then the point guard, Scoochie Smith, and Newkirk for St. Joe's is one of the most improved players in the conference. I mean, this game, these teams will get after it. They'll push the ball. Like, this could be a really great game. I hope that it's close, you know, because it could be some must-see TV for sure.
Great stuff, man. Brian, great job, buddy. We'll talk to you down the road. A10talk.com, my man Brian Kuiper. Thank you, buddy.
Bye. Thanks, Greg. Take care, bud.
Great stuff. Last night was one that I think is going to hurt, obviously, for a while, because if you go down to Davidson and you hope that, you know, if you go down to Davidson and obviously you know that this is one that you're really trying to get, and then you find out that their best player isn't going to go. Now, listen, we've seen that before where teams have sort of risen to the occasion and sort of rallied when they know that they're missing a key piece of the puzzle, especially a guy like Jack Gibbs. But I think that was just really, really surprising, especially since they played well and efficient on offense. But the main issue has been on defense, really. And I think that goes a long way. And, you know, this is sort of another one of these. I think it's really easy and convenient to put Chris Mooney in the Carl Sayers, and he'll be the first one to put himself there. But this goes back to, you know, just a couple of days ago, we started talking about how Will Wade came out and defended his players who were being criticized on social media, whether it was they were criticizing Burgess for missing a couple free throws in that game or whatever it was. And I found that sort of funny, only in that I have this big theory that in college athletics, most of that lunatic fringe fan base that we often refer to, they always criticize the coach and almost are reluctant to criticize players because for whatever reason. And so, you know, for me, I see guys on the Spiders roster that are either underperforming or are grossly inconsistent. And that's not to absolve Chris Mooney, because it's Chris Mooney's job to, A, recruit players, that, B, he can develop and help, you know, help bring together to help post victories. So Chris Mooney doesn't need me or anyone else to make excuses for him. I'm sure this guy's as torn up as anyone that they are, you know, in obvious jeopardy of not making the NCAA tournament again. No one has to sort of beat him across the head with a 2x4. But there's plenty of blame to go around over there at the Robbins Center. Plenty. And I think that that's something. Listen, when the frustration sets in, then people, I get it. I mean, just reading, when I read some of the emails that I've gotten and some of the texts and emails and whatnot and tweets, the frustration just sort of oozes from each and every one of them. And a lot of times then it's just sort of this anger, irrational almost anger, because they just want answers. Why are we paying a guy X and we're not getting to the tournament? It doesn't certainly help when you have a crosstown rival, you know, that is having consistent success and is, you know, trying to go to the tournament for the sixth straight year and you haven't been for five, which is, again, the theme of all of these tweets and emails that I get and that I've been emailing about. I do think it's fair to bring up the guys they lost. I think that sort of set some of this in motion when Adota transferred and then when Jones got kicked off the team. And then suddenly you're like, uh-oh. And they are grossly undermanned. And I think then there are guys on this team that just haven't lived up to expectation. They have three guys that you know, for the most part, bring it strong every day. Three guys that are as good as any sort of three-guy combination in the league, right, with Terry Allen and T.J. Klein and Shondre Jones. But they need Trey Davis to play better and more consistent. They need Deion Taylor to play better and more consistent. And, I mean, you can't ask but for so much more from Quan Four, right? I mean, you can't ask but so much more from a young guy like that. Marshall Wood. I mean, I think they thought Marshall Wood was really going to be. I mean, Marshall Wood's averaging just under 10 points per game. But I think they feel like, you know, I think you look at his stats and you look at what he brings night in, night out, you just wish it was maybe a little bit more sort of consistent. But there's talent there. They just need to get that level of consistency. And I can understand why Spider fans are so frustrated. I get it. I get it 100%. Let's take a quick timeout. 622-0950. You can text us at 638-9508, 638-9508. And I'm on Twitter at HardlyWorking950, as many of you know, because I get the texts. And Facebook, HardlyWorking with Greg Burton. We're going to try to get my man Nate Ryan on from NBCSports.com. He covers NASCAR. He's down in Daytona. We'll get his thoughts on young Chase Elliott being on the pole for Sunday's Daytona 500 and more storylines heading into the 2016 Sprint Cup season. All that is coming up. So we're going to try to get Nate on the line coming up here in just a little bit right here on ESPN 950.
Hardly Working with Greg Burton on ESPN 950 and the new Sports FM 100.5 is presented by Midas of Richmond.